Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
First Kings chapter 8, starting in verse number 12, New Living Translation. Then Solomon prayed, O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever. Then the king turned around to the entire community of Israel standing before him and gave this blessing. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept the promise he made to my father David. For he told my father, from the day I brought my people out, Israel out of Egypt, I have never chosen a city among any of the tribes of Israel as the place where a temple should be built to honor my name. But I have chosen David to be king over my people Israel. Then Solomon said, my father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, you wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention is good, but you are not the one to do it. One of your own sons will build the temple to honor me. And now the Lord has fulfilled the promise he made. For I have become king in my father's place, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. I've built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Yes, and again, and I have prepared a place there for the ark, which contains the covenant that the Lord made with our ancestors when he brought them out of Egypt. You may go to your seats around the building. Verse 14 of 1 Kings 8 says, then the king turned around to the entire community of Israel standing before him and gave this blessing. I want to talk about from the theme, when the king turns around. When the king turns around. All of those persons, those blessings, this earthly king has now turned around to the entire community. Every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. The king turns around. Blessings are taking place before the eyes of persons who are there. Of course, we can look at David, this mighty leader, man of faith, the psalmist. We can reflect upon his praise life, his worship life, even the merry moment that he was got so wrapped up in praising God that he was not worried about any of his clothes. David, who had made errors in his life, but God is one who can redeem us. He can come in. He can deal with whatever errors we have made, whatever our shortcomings are. And so it is in this passage that we find one who is described as one of the smartest persons who's ever lived. Solomon, son of David, great wisdom, now given an assignment, and his assignment is to complete that which was started by his father. With good intentions, many of us, we live our lives with good intentions. We have positive things that we want to do. But at the end of the day, we need the anointing of God, the covering of God. It's a blessing to know the word and to hide the word in your heart so that you might not sin against God. In this passage, Solomon starts off in prayer, which is important for all of us to know. It says men and women ought always to pray and to pray without ceasing. Solomon is now engaging in prayer. No matter he might be a king, but there's someone who is higher than he is. Solomon, no matter how wise he has, all the wisdom, there's someone with more wisdom than even he has. It is Solomon that begins and says, yes, I must start in prayer. That's a lesson that all of us could learn. This man who had risen to this level of living, this level of achievement, but yet he still has time to pray. No matter how high you go in life, God is higher. No matter how low you might drop in life, his hand can come beneath you and pull you out of wherever you are. I believe I'm on the right page this morning because some of you have experienced the highs and the lows. You have experienced the sunlight and the rain. You have experienced the winds of life. Yet we can come because we serve a God who can deal with us in all situations. It is in this message that there are three areas that we're going to look at that we will take a closer look. Number one, blessings can evolve from out of the clouds. You can come through your cloudy moments. You can come through those moments of low visibility, those challenges that you can share in. But you realize that blessings can evolve from out of the clouds. We'll come back to that when going back to the discussion I had this week, because we deal with the clouds of life. Someone has come to worship today, working your way through the cloud. You're dealing with, you got your good church look on, you're blessed and you're highly favored. You're too blessed to be stressed. You know all of the religious lingo, but you still know that we have to deal with our clouds. Some of us say we got to fake it until we can make it. Some of us try to put on that exterior, although we're hurting on the inside. We're crying on the inside, but we put the fake smile on the outside. Blessings can evolve from out of the clouds. Secondly, in this message, you can't shift your impatience onto God. I know you want it right now, quick, fast, in a hurry, but sometimes you've got to learn to wait on God. Wait on him, wait on him, wait on him. I know you want instant and immediate gratification, but some things you've got to wait on. Because of the wait is able to stretch our sense of appreciation. When you have to wait and you have to work and you have to labor, there's a different mentality that you're going to have when you get to certain points. We live now where persons want instant gratification. Our millennials will put on social media pictures that they want persons to be able to click the like button. And they are intoxicated
by the sense of instant gratification, the lack of disappointment. I was in an athletic banquet where they were giving out trophies to all of the team players, and the team had lost every game, but everyone got a trophy. And not only did everyone get a trophy, but then they gave out a trophy for most valuable player. They lost every game, but yet someone walked out of there with a most valuable player trophy. This is the world that we live in, this sense of instant gratification. And thirdly, in this message, God will always be true to his word. Matter of fact, somebody can say we can close it up right there, because we are the living embodiment that God is true to his word. He will see us through. He will walk us through the valley. He will throw out the lifeline. He will answer our prayers. He will make a way out of no way. I know he will. I'm a living witness that he will. Watched over you. I'm going too fast. I felt something jumping in my spirit. I felt it jumping, because when you think about the great things of God has done and God is doing, it can get you excited. When you think about answered prayers, when you think about the diagnosis that didn't take you out of it, when you think about how a God who could sit high but look low, it ought to give you a sense of excitement. God will always be true to his word. Well, it is in this particular passage that Solomon is engaging with God. He's in prayer. But I need you to look at the backdrop of that which is going on. Sometimes we can miss what is going on before our eyes. And what we see before our eyes does not really give us the glimpse of what happened behind the scenes. With every one of us, there is a backstory. With every one of us, there are those moments that the cameras will not catch. There are those public moments that, and there are persons who spend their private time with God. They are seeking the will of God. They are going through the challenges. But I want you to know that blessings can evolve from out of the cloud. Out of the clouds. It was in the clouds that Solomon is praying. Oh Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. You have said that even in the darkness, in the thick cloud of darkness, you're still there. I don't know who might be on that page right now where you feel that you're in the thick cloud of darkness. But this scripture ought to tell you that he can live there in the cloud, the dark cloud of darkness, yet God is there. He's there in your midnight experiences. He's there when people turn their back on you. He's there when the pitfalls of life have to be dealt with. He's still there. He's in this room. I can feel him in this room. I can feel him in the atmosphere. I can feel him moving in this place, in the thick cloud. Even though it's a thick cloud, Solomon said, I'm still going to pray. And he said, now I'm building a glorious temple, and I'm doing it for you, a place where you can live forever. But what God is telling him, I don't need a building to live. I don't need stuff to live. Now you realize it's not your stuff that makes you alive. No matter how much jewelry you have, and no matter what designer stuff you have access to, it's not the stuff that allows you to live. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have life abundantly. And so my life is there regardless of the building, regardless of the exterior, regardless of my Christmas things that I have acquired, God is still there. The king turns around. He turned around to the entire community. The Israelite community, in other words, he was talking and they were at his back. But I thank God that even in the cloud, God can see us. Even in the darkness, God can see us. He says the king turns around, turning around. Matter of fact, most persons who speak to people, you normally do not want to speak to people with them at your back. And so you want to make sure that if you're speaking to someone, and matter of fact, we teach our young people, when you speak to someone, look them in the eye. Don't look away. It becomes a sense of connection to be able to look persons in their eyes. Look them in their eyes. I'm looking in your eyes. And sometimes we got to look into your eyes to see your pain. Looking into your eyes, it's like those boxers when they come into the ring and it's three persons there. It's both of the boxers, but then there is the referee. And the referee is giving them instructions before they get ready to start the fight. But if you notice, the boxers do not look at the referee. The boxers look at one another. They're, because it's in that moment that they say sometimes they can see victory right there when the instructions are being given out by looking them in the eye. You need to know, my brothers and sisters, that you've got to look the devil in the eye. You can't run from him. Because when he sees fear, he is going to pounce on you. Any bully out there, when they see fear, they're coming at you. So sometimes you've got to dig into the deep resources of who you are. And you've got to depend on the word of God. And you've got to say, I'm not defeated. I am not the victim, but I'm the victor. I am a champion. I'm not a chump. I'm a winner and not a wimp. And you have to look challenges in the eye. I've come to the garden alone, but I come knowing that the Lord is with me. It is in this particular passage that the king has now turned around. And I thank God that the God that we serve, that even though we might be at his back, we're never at his back because he's in all places at all times. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the good, bad, and the ugly. But I thank God that even out of the clouds that we can come out with a praise. On the other side of danger. In the next service, I'm dealing with the disciples as they got ready to cross the Sea of Galilee. They were crossing over. But sometimes you've got to understand that God can be with you in your crossover moments. You're crossing over. We've crossed over from 2019 to 2020. It's a crossover moment. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. I thank God that we come into this year with the blessings of God. I feel it. I feel it in the atmosphere. I know that God is in the blessing business. You're too blessed. You're too blessed not to realize it. You got up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. You got here today because of his grace and his mercy. You got here today with joy bells ringing in your spirit. You got here thanking God for all the great things. Some of us get ready for worship and we start lining up and we start thinking about what we're going to wear and all these kind of things. But I thank God for the person who can know that the king is still turning around. The king is watching you. Even in your dark places, you need to realize that he can make a difference in your life. Look at it. Look in this passage and this dialogue and this discussion that is going on right here. The king turns around to the entire community of Israel and he gave this blessing. In other words, the gospel is available for everybody. Everybody is not going to receive it, but it's not going to be because it's not available. It is available, But you have to make a decision whether you're going to accept his love. Oh, thank God for his love. Endless love, forever love. Thank God for love. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Thank God. No, you realizing that God is moving in this situation. And then Solomon says, praise the Lord. I'm praising the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's kept every promise. He kept promises to my father, David, because I am a product of my father. And from the day I bought my people Israel out of Egypt, I've never chosen a city. God saying among any of the tribes of Israel as the place where the temple should be built to honor my name. But I've chosen David. David was chosen to be king, but he was not chosen to be the builder. God can choose you to do certain assignments, but every assignment is not for everybody. That's why he gives out his gifts in different ways. We are different kinds of people. You can't be me. I can't be you. But our prayer is that God bring out the best in me. Bring the best in me. Bring out the best in me. David was chosen to be king over my people Israel. But then Solomon said, my father David wanted to build this temple. He wanted to honor the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord told him, you wanted to build a temple to honor my name. Your intention is good, but you are not the one to do it. I know what you want to do, but you're not the one who's going to do it. And that second thing is that you can't shift your impatience onto God. I know David wanted to do it, but God said it's not for you. I need for you to pave the way for what is going to happen. And sometimes you've got to be comfortable in paving the way. You've got to take the shots of others, but you're taking the shots of others because you're trying to help somebody behind you. There's a grandparent out there. There's a great grandparent out there. There's a parent. You know you had to take some shots in life. But thanks be to God, he brought you to where you are. And since he's brought you to where you are, you ought to have enough in your heart to turn around. Thank God that he's brought you where he's brought you. But thank God that you still have to have the mentality to turn around. Thank God that we need to be the kind of people that as God lifts us, we ought to want to lift others behind us. We're living in a selfish generation. Matter of fact, you can look at it. When you look at television now and you see all the craziness of television. Matter of fact, I saw one program where the daughter and the mother were going after the same man. There's so much drama out there. There's so many things that can attract your attention. But I thank God, and you know there are folk like that. They don't want to grow up. They want to wear tight leather pants all the way to the grave. They want to be pumped all the way up. And you can do so many things today. You can pump it up, plunk it out. You can bring it in. You can twist it. You can smooth it over. You can be able to do all these kinds of things. But I need you to know, you need to understand, you're not going to be young forever. And I know you want to be young. I know you want to color it. I know you want to extend it. I know you want to do all the kind of things, but you're not going to be young forever. But I haven't come to depress you. If it feels good to you, thank God. Thank God that your equipment is still working. Thank God that you can get up in the morning. Thank God you can make it out to the gym. You can't run as fast as you used to do. You can't lift as much weight as you used to lift. But thank God for whatever you can do. But I thank God that every time you got some time, you got to learn how to turn around. Turn around, see how far the Lord has brought you. Turn around, not to go back, but to thank God for how far he has brought you. Turn around and look at how every mountain that God has brought you through. Turn around and see the valleys that he's dealt with. Turn around and see the darkness that has happened. But I thank God that when I turn back and face back, I'm putting my face to God. And as I put my face to God, I can see that God is still sitting high, but is also looking low. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the answered prayer. Thank you. I don't want to be impatient, God. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to try to force my impatience onto you, but I simply want to trust you. Somebody said, I'm trusting God. I'm not going to trust myself because I make mistakes. You can trust yourself and you can make errors and trust your memory, and your memory is not what it used to be. But I thank God that this king turns around, blesses the entire community. And that leads me to my last point. God will always be true to his word. He said that David would not build the temple. But I thank God that the temple will get built. But it's going to get built by the son by the name of Solomon. I thank God for the son. I thank God for the son, S-O-N, Solomon. I thank God for the son, S-U-N. But I also thank God for his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God that God said, I will turn around. And when I turn around, I'm going to send my only begotten son. He will come through on every promise. It says it right here. Every promise, every situation, every challenge, no matter what's going on, I put my trust in you. I brought you out of Egypt, and I can still keep bringing you. I'm in the business of bringing you. I'm in the business of dealing with you. I'm in the business of supplying you with all your needs. Come on, Highland Park. We can thank God, for he can supply his, all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Good morning, Highland Park. May the Lord bless you real good. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I'm thanking God that God will turn around. God will deal with me. There's no problem too small. There's no problem too heavy. Nothing is too hard for God. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Solomon, you're going to build the temple, but it's not because you're so smart. You're going to build the temple, not because of who your daddy is, but you're going to build the temple because of the power of God. But I've got to remind you that it's not the temple that has the power. I thank God that I'm all around. Everywhere I go back to Moses. Moses was getting ready to go down to Pharaoh. And Moses said, who shall I say has sent me? And God said to him, as he was standing out there, the bush was burning, but not being consumed. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Thank God for holy ground. But when you look at Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he said, who sent you? I am that I am. Because I'm a king who can turn around. Thank you, God. I will take care of you. I will intercept your pain. I will lift you from a low place. I love him. Yes, I do. And he's able to do what no other power could do. He's able to step in right on time. He's able to turn around. He's able to call your name, pull you out of where you are, propel you to where you're going to go. I will bless the Lord at all times. Yes, yes, yes. When the king turns around. Hallelujah. He can. And the thing about God, turning around does not make him dizzy. No, no, no. You keep, see, one of the things I always hated at amusement park were those rides that spun you around. I ain't like that. When you got off the ride, you trying to, but we serve a God in this world that spins on an axis. It's turning right now. But we serve a God, even in a turning world, who can deal with every situation. No matter what turn, your finances turn, your family turn, your sense of stability has shifted. But whatever is shifted, we deal with a God who can meet us at every shift.
Come on, clap your hands.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park and Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.
I'm working on it.